I want you to take your Bible this morning and go to the book of Joel. Go to the book of Joel over in the Old Testament. You find the book of Hosea. Go over one book from that. You find the book of Amos, I believe it is. Turn back from that and you'll find the book of Joel. While you're looking for the book of Joel, I want to say that it's joy to know that I'm saved. Amen. And to know that I'm blood washed and blood bought. And if you ain't that way today, today would be a good day. For you to get saved. That'd be a wonderful day for you to know that your sins has been forgiven. Listen, you don't have to worry about dying. Listen, as that song said, only one thing will matter when the time comes to die. Hey, listen, as if the blood has been applied to your life and washed you clean and white in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loved us and gave himself for it, Romans 5 and 8. But God commended his love toward us, and it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And boy, I'm glad and that to be saved. I'm glad that I know that I'm saved. I'm glad that I feel the Holy Spirit and that deep within. Amen. And know what I got's real this morning and not fabricated by me or by religion, but to know that it's real. Amen. Listen, that does something for me. I don't know if it does anything for you, but it does something for me to know that my salvation's real. All right. Joel chapter 1, while we stand our feet this morning. Joel chapter 1, as we stand our feet and that in reverence to the reading of God's Word, I believe I give you enough time to find it. Amen. It's just good to be here. Amen. I tell you, just good to come to church, and I'm glad to see everybody with us this morning. I want to look in one verse in Joel chapter 1. And I want you to look with me in verse 12. Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. And I've got to spitting around up here and got spit on my glasses. Let me see if I can see here now. And the Bible said, tickle me too there. The vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We love you and we thank you. And Lord, we ask this morning, most of all, that if there's one here that's lost, that they'd come to be saved today. Lord, I pray that you would touch them and show them their need and that of salvation, and that they would move, that they would not fear and that they would not wait, but that they would move. But Lord, while we preach for the next little while, I pray that you would touch us and anoint us afresh from heaven. Lord, we can't do this on our own, and I realize that. Can't do it at all without you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll come by for the next little while and help us. And Lord, I pray this morning, if somebody needs some help, Lord, that they'd find help in you. And Lord, we're just glad to be here this morning, glad to be saved, and feel the Holy Spirit deep within. God, I pray now you'd preach us and help us to let folk be very attentive, not only with their ears, but not with their heart. And during the invitation, if folk need to move, I pray that they'll move today. And Lord, we'll give the glory for it all. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. You be seated this morning. In the book of Joel, as he deals in that with judgments of God and that toward God's people. As a matter of fact, you get down, I believe it is, in verse 15 of chapter 1, he says, "Alas for the day, of the Lord is at hand." And what he's referring there to is the day when God and that pours his wrath and that out upon this earth. And there is coming that day. You need to understand that, that you need to be saved from the wrath of God. Paul talks about, I believe it is, at one point he talks about who he's preaching. He says, talking about preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. But he said, telling every man and warning every man. Reckon what he was warning every man about. I believe he was warning them about the second coming and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. About the wrath that's going to be poured out. About the place where you spend eternity if you're unsaved without God. Hey, listen to me this morning. Hell's real. Eternal lake of fire's real. That's where you'll go if you're not saved.
But we find right here, as Joel's laying out to the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, he's telling them right here, because of God's judgment, because the way that you've turned your back on God, generation after generation, God has come against you. And so in verse 12, when we get here, he talks about how the vine is dried up, the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, they're all languishing. The apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. And then he says that the joy is withered away from the sons of men. I want to preach, having a thought this morning for just a little bit on the withering Christian. If you're not careful, you can wither up, dry up, and blow away. The word wither means to fade. I don't want to fade. Do you want to fade this morning, church? Hey, listen. Hey, are we here this morning? I don't want to fade. Amen. Listen, it means to fade. It means to lose its native freshness. You know, there's something different about us as God's people. Amen. Listen, we ought to be different in the world. God's put a joy and put something different on the inside of us. I don't believe we can lose our salvation, but I sure do know that you can lose your joy, and you can lose your color, and you can begin to lose your ability and that to make a difference in this world, and you begin to dry up and wither away and be no good for God. But that word wither means to become sapless or to dry up or to waste or to decay. Now listen, man is compared in that to the grass that groweth in the field. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. You know how hard it is to get grass to grow. You know how hard it is to get grass to stay green. It's hard when it's drought time. It's hard, and that to do all those things, and that unless the circumstances are just right. Now listen, can I tell you that it's hard sometimes for us to stay green and fresh if the circumstances just ain't right. You ever been there? You ever been there? I'm getting ahead of myself. Hey, but listen, you got to understand that it's easy and that for us to wither up and dry up and die up and blow away if we don't stay and that close with God. I want you to take your Bible this morning real quick by why I'm getting started here. And I want you to look in Psalms chapter 1. And I'm going to preach a little while. Psalms chapter 1, and look with me what he's saying. In verse 1, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not what? Wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What in that was the command in verses 1 and 2 for the righteous man? Verse number 1 is to stay separated and that from the world. And verse number 2 is to stay in the scripture that the Lord's give us. I want to preach this morning on the withering Christian. Number 1, first of all, what causes us to wither up and die? First of all, can I say sin? I liken sin and that to the thorns that the Lord talked about in Matthew chapter 13. What was he talking about in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22 when he talked about the sower went out to sow? He said, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. We find the same thing in Mark chapter 4, talking about them being sown and that among thorns, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Luke chapter 8 talks about they that which have fell among the thorns, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit unto perfection. Can I say, first of all, the thing I believe that will cause you to wither, and that is sin gets in your life. You ever seen or trying to grow something, make a garden, or have a little corn or maybe little beans, listen, and you let some weeds get in there, and some thorns and briars may grow in there if you ain't careful. You know what will happen? That stuff will begin to choke out what you're trying to grow, and it'll take over, and you won't have anything. Hey, can I tell you, sin is the same way in our life. Hey, I know that we commit sin of omission sometimes. And what are you talking about? Sin of omission. Some things that we should be doing that we're not doing. Hey, can I tell you, you let that thing go on and rock on long enough, and it'll begin to dry you up because we become no good and that for God. But listen, when sin begins to creep in, you know what it does? It begins to separate us and that from the one that is keeping us fresh and keeping us where we can serve Him. Hey, listen, them old thorns grow in there, and them old weeds will get in there. I can remember going down to the garden when I was a boy, and I hated to go to the garden. You think my wife hated to go to the garden? And she did, amen. And I think she hated it worse than I did, Brother Steve. That she hated going to the yard to hear her talk. She hated it. I heard her sister used to start fights down there in the garden to make her mama mad so that they'd send her back to the house. Amen. Wouldn't they do that? Amen. Next time you see my sister-in-law, you get on to her. Amen. Hey, but listen. I remember my grandmother, we'd go down to the garden and she'd say, pull up that Johnson grass. And you wouldn't have corn but about that high out of the ground. And you'd have Johnson grass about that high out of the ground. And for a boy that was about 7 or 8 years old, and they both about that tall, I couldn't tell the difference between corn and Johnson grass. And they learned real quick, don't tell me, pull up Johnson grass. The corn's coming up at the same time. Amen. Hey, if we ain't careful, you know what we'll do? We'll get to pulling up the wrong thing. That's why he talks about wheat and tares. That's a different message for a different time. But you know why they wanted me to pull up that Johnson grass? Because it was going to rob the nutrients and that from that corn. You know why we had to go down there and get them morning glories up and get that stuff out of there? That stuff that didn't blow. Hey, it was going to suck the nutrients and that away from the corn and the beans that was growing. Hey, listen, when sin comes into our life, you know what it begins to do? It begins to suck those nutrients and that away from God in our life. And it begins to rob us, and we begin to wither on God. Hey, the Bible talks about in the book of Psalms chapter 66. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know why you can't pray sometimes? Sin's in there. Sin's in there. Let's just be honest. Hey, listen, it's more if you just be honest with God and be honest with yourself. You just admit there's some things that you need to take care of. God's pointed them out. But there between you and God, you ain't unsaved. You ain't lost again because of it. But hey, it separated you and God. Isaiah 59 said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Hey, I'm telling you, sin is a separator. And so you let them weeds. Ain't it amazing how them weeds can outgrow what you've planted? Ain't that amazing? Them weeds that come into our life, they'll outgrow what we've got for the Lord. And they'll begin to overshadow what we're trying to grow. And it'll block the sunlight. And it'll take the rain. And it'll take the nutrients. And it separates out what it needs. And so sin, it is a separator. And it keeps us from God and wants us to dry up and wither away. And the funny thing about sin is we look at sin in our life and we say, well, it's not hurting me. It's not hurting you, preacher. So why bother me with that? Hey, listen, anything that separates us between us and God is hurting us. Amen. Hey, listen, you need to understand that. Hey, I tell you, there's one sin that is always prevalent. There's one sin that always shows up when sin creeps into our life, and that is pride. Hey, pride separates us. Pride kills us. Pride dries us up. Did you know that? I don't think you can sin without pride. I'll be honest with you. What do you mean you don't think you can sin without pride? Because it lifts us up and it causes us to be conceited. Listen, and we think that we're going to get away with something that nobody else has been able to get away with. Now I'm talking about withering up and drying away. You say, well, we're here this morning. Hey, I'll deal with this here in a minute. These folk dry up sitting on church pew. Just wither up. We've what was that? What was that plant hanging on the front porch? What was that? My mother-in-law, what was that plant hanging on the front porch? Do what was it? Petunias. Okay. I don't got no green thumb. I can tell you it was pretty. I made sure to water it. My wife made sure to water it, and that thing got to looking rough. And we watered it and gave it some food, it bloomed out there, got to growing big. And so we finally just got tarred down with it. And I mean, that's what happened. I mean, and we finally got tarred down with it. And so you know what we done? We let it dry up. And it sat there, and I watched it day after day after day. And it just withered up a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And you know what happens to some Christians when sin gets in their life? Just every day they wither up a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And you just let that sin stay in your life until it eventually just dries you up. Whatever it is, I don't know what the sin is. I don't know what, maybe it's lying, maybe it's cheating. I don't know what it is. Sure, it ain't drinking or adultery or any of those things. But listen to me, you ain't going to get away from them. It does separate you and that from God, and it's going to get you eventually. Amen. You watch people think they can get away with sin, and before you know it, they've done dried up. They're out on God, out of church, living in sin, thinking that they're doing okay. I know some folk like that right now think that they're doing okay. But sin, it's a separator, and it separates us and that from God. And so it gets us, those storms spring up in our life and chokes out what we need. But then number two, not only is sin and that liking and that to the thorn, but then I want to talk about and that not only what causes us to wither up is sin, but then when poison gets introduced. Not only when you introduce thorns and weeds and that into something, will it kill it and choke it out? May take it a while, but it'll do it. But I tell you what, I killed some stuff out at the house, and I thought about you, Tony. Didn't you spray your yard one time, kill some weeds and kill grass and all, didn't you? Yeah. Man, I killed some grass at the house with some poison here a while back, and it killed it. But man, when it come back with a vengeance. Amen. Hey, but listen, you know what else? You know what else causes us to wither up and dry away and dry and blow away? Poison. Poison is a substance that when taken proves to be fatal. It'll kill us. Now, I've been spraying my yard. I like that liquid weed eater. It's good stuff. You know, I don't have to. You spray it twice a year, and it kills stuff. And the kind that I got kills it all. It don't matter what it is, grass, weeds. It don't matter. So if you don't want it dead, don't get it on it. I mean, I'm learning the hard way. Amen? I mean, that stuff, you mix it hot enough, that stuff will even kill trees if you ain't careful. There's some trees out there in the backyard. But a substance that when taken proves to be fatal. Hey, listen, can I tell you what causes in that Christians and that to wither up and dry away is when poison is introduced into their diet. You ever watch people, you watch these TV shows and you see them and they're telling the story about how a husband killed a wife or a wife killed a husband. Maybe you don't watch them things. You watch enough of them, you'll go crazy, by the way. Affects your mind. Hey, but listen to me. And they talk about how they just done a little metal poisoning here, a little and there, a little. And you know what happened eventually over a period of time? It eventually killed them. That stuff I'm using at the house, you mix it 2 ounces to a gallon, and it will eventually kill what you sprayed it on. 2 ounces to a gallon ain't nothing. I mean, I mixed it hot the other day. I believe it's about 6 ounces to a gallon. I killed it by tomorrow. But listen, it just takes a little poison and that to kill something. I can't remember what rat poison. Brother Jeff, you remember what rat poison, what it contains? How much poison's in rat poison? You remember? 0.05 poison sets in rat poison. And the rest of it's wheat, and the rest of it is just what's made up for that rat to eat. It don't take much poison and that to kill, is what I'm getting at. So what are you calling poison, preacher, that makes us dry up as Christians and wither away? Can I tell you that, first of all, the poison that you've got to be careful with is the poison from other people. A lot of people like to talk. Amen. Boy, we're going to get good now, ain't we? Huh? A lot of people like to gossip. A lot of people like to talk. Hey, listen, the Bible said in Proverbs 11 that a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. You say, well, preacher, it's not my eyes just telling the truth. Hey, can I tell you today, church, some things don't need to be told, even if it is the truth. Hey, you need to pray for them instead of tell on them. You need to pray for them instead of spreading gossip. Hey, you just need to pray for them that God will help them. Amen. But sometimes people get to running their mouth in church, and you know what you'll do? You'll have a Christian that's weak in the faith, that don't know how to handle that situation, and you know what it'll do? It'll begin to dry them up and wither them. Hey, I've seen folk quit church because somebody talked about them, talked about their... Hey, if you want to get on the fighting side of some mom and daddies, talk about their children. Now, let's be honest now. I'm talking about poison. You want to poison people, just talk about them. Hey, listen, the Bible said in Proverbs 12, there is that speaking like the piercings of a sword. Hey, listen, some things we say we need to be careful with because we don't know how we're going to hurt somebody and that when we say it. Hey, the poison of other people, their tongue and their mouth has hurt them. But for whatever reason they said it, whether out of malice or whether it's just by accident or whether they just wanted to be mean. You know, not everybody sitting in church is saved, by the way. Not everybody that's been in church for 30 years is saved. Amen. And some people are just mean. Did you know that? I'm just going to be honest with you today. So I don't think we have that here. I hope we don't have that here. But some people are just mean. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care what they say. And that causes some to dry up and wither away. They say if all church people act that way, if all Christians are that way, I don't want to have any part of that Christianity right there. And I could see what would make somebody and that wither and dry up. He talks about here, it was the judgment of God that done it in the book of Joel. But he said, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Hey, I'm going to tell you, church, we need to be careful with what we have to say to people. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs that he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Whoso keepeth his mouth in Proverbs 21 and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. You know the best thing sometimes for us to do? Not say nothing. Not say nothing. Sometimes it's not always been what I said, but how I said it. I'm telling you, I get my mouth kicked in gear, and I can't get it stopped fast enough before it comes out. Now, sometimes it needs to be said, and sometimes it don't need to be said. And we need to learn to, you know, that's why the Bible said, I believe it was at one point, to study to be quiet. You've got to study to be quiet. You've got to learn how to be quiet. You've got to teach your children how to be quiet. I believe that's why they always want us to play the quiet game. I couldn't win at the quiet game, save my life. Yep. He said in James chapter 1, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. He said, you may think that you're religious, but if you can't keep this under control. He went on saying, 1 Peter chapter 3, for he that love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Hey, I'm going to tell you, people can poison somebody else
whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, and before you turn around, they begin to wither up and dry away. Better be careful. Better be careful. But then incorrect doctrine, and that can poison people. I'm talking about what poisons. We know that the thorns come along and they choke out things, and that creates a withering situation, if you'd let me say that. But poison comes along. You can look sometimes. Well, take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. Look with me in 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm talking about what causes us to wither up. But I'll be honest with you, church, I want to finish this thing good. I mean, I want to finish good. I want to finish, and I'll get there in a minute, but I want to finish with a bright leaf. I want to finish still bringing forth fruit. I want to finish good. 2 Kings chapter 4, look in verse 38. 2 Kings verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. Now, Elisha's one of the greatest prophets that there was, and there was a dearth in the land. So everything is drying up right here. Everything, there's nothing to eat, there's nothing to drink. And the Bible said, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on a great pot, seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered therefore of wild gourds his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. Well, now you better be careful. Well, let me read on. So they poured out the meat to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there's death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. I want you to go back and look at what happens. One goes out and he gathers up some wild gourds. He gathers up something that they did not know. In verse 39 said, for they knew them not. Hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. Just because I say something from behind this pulpit, I need to be able to back it up with Scripture. Hey, don't always take my word for it. Hey, even though I'm the preacher and I'm going to try to teach you the best that I know how, and I'm going to stay with inside this book, but don't ever assume that I'm right. Prove it out yourself. Hey, listen, you need to know what these teachers are teaching our kids down in Sunday school. I mean, hey, I believe they're doing it right. I'll go down. I spend some time with them from time to time. Look what's on the board. I mean, look through their books. I believe it's my responsibility as pastor of what's being taught to your children. Amen. I believe that. But Lisa said that they didn't know. Hey, did you know that poison, the wrong doctrine, the wrong scripture, the wrong interpretation of scripture can begin to dry up people and get them withered on the Lord? The Bible went on to say, as Samuel did in 1 Samuel chapter 12, as he's standing before the people of God, he said, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. You need to know the good and right way. I mean, we're just King James Bible believers here. That's what we are. Believe the right book. Believe in salvation. Believe in salvation by grace through faith. If I ever get to teaching or preaching something different than that, run me off. Amen? Hey, listen, that's important. If we ever get to stop teaching and preaching on separation, then we got to do something. Hey, listen, if we ever quit preaching and teaching on loving one another in the Lord, hey, we got to do something. Hey, I'm telling you right now that we've got too many churches and that preaching and teaching too many things contrary and that to the Word of God, and folk are going, but they're withering up, sitting on the pew. We've got mega churches. We've got little churches that want to be mega churches. And they have forsook that scripture. I got to think about this the other day, Jeremiah. I did. I got to think about this. Folk are more concerned about how to get folk to how to appeal and that to this generation. I'm not concerned about appealing to this generation or yesterday's generation or tomorrow's generation. I'm concerned about what the Word of God says. And if they come, they come. We'll invite them. We'll try to get them in. Hey, but it ain't our job and that to appeal to folks' needs. You understand what I'm saying? Or their wants. Let me put it like that way. Well, preacher, if you had this kind of music, don't even listen. You know, if you use another Bible, they ain't going to listen. Hey, listen, I know what's right.
Hey, listen, Jeroboam, you know what Jeroboam done? When he left and took the, God rent the 10 tribes, 10 northern tribes away from Israel and Judah, or that were Israel, and Judah stayed in the south and Israel went north, and Jeroboam, to make it easier for the nation of Israel, you know what he done? He set up idol worship. Set up idol worship in the north, set up idol worship in the south. We'll make it easy on everybody. You know what's happened today? When I preach, we want everybody to have a great experience when they come to church. I want you to have a good experience too. But I know this, if you ain't living for God, I want you under conviction. Amen. I want you to feel miserable. I want you to be welcome here, but I want you to feel miserable. I'll just be honest with you about it. I have nothing to hide this morning. Hey, listen, if you are saved and you ain't serving God, you ought to be miserable. Amen. If you're lost, you ought to be miserable today. Amen. Hey, listen, but Jeroboam made it easy on everybody. Now, he was trying to make it easy where everybody could just serve God the way they wanted to. It don't work that way. We don't have it our way. This ain't Burger King. Hey, listen, friend, we got to serve God the way that He says to. Amen. Come as you are, and in most churches you leave as you are, or in worse condition. But poison, it kills things. And so incorrect doctrine, wrong preaching, kills folk. Just a little here and a little there, and before you know it, they've changed the way they live, changed the way things are run in the home. Huh? Start using some words that they might not have normally used, and start dressing a little different than what they used to dress. Hello? You ought to dress modest. Get it covered up. Amen, amen, preacher. That's good. I'm going to be like Brother Peters. I'm going to get me an amen sign. Amen. Huh? Listen. Incorrect doctrine. Get to believing that stuff. It's going to foul you up. Well, we can talk a lot about that. But I'm going to move on. Number three. What causes us to wither up? Can I tell you just simply the lack of water and the lack of food will do that. I was talking about that plant a few minutes ago that we let dry up at the house. You know what happens? You quit eating and you quit drinking and you will wither up. I remember when I got sick right before me and Kelly got married, and this has been almost 20, 30 years ago now, about a month and a half before we got married, I got sick. And I had dehydrated. Been so sick, they ended up with me in the hospital. But you know, I went from like 189 pounds. I wish I was there now. 189 pounds to 169 pounds. Now 20 pounds, 15 to 20 pounds, I lost in like a 7-day period. I was beginning to what? Wither away, wasn't I? I mean, I looked good when I got married. Thin? Man, I was thin. But you know what? I began to wither away because there was a lack of food and a lack of water in my diet. Something had made me sick. Can I tell you that there's folk right now, again, that are sitting on a church pew that are simply withering away, not because of sin, not because of poison, but simply because they're not being fed? I'd like to think that I feed you from behind this pulpit. I'd like to think that. There's a lot of folks sitting in church today. They ain't going to be no better off leaving than they were coming. You say you're picking on other churches a whole lot. Hey, I'm telling you, if you listen to some of the stuff on TV and on the radio, hey, listen, I'm more concerned about getting it right. You say, well, preacher, we ought to just love one. We ought to love one another. Well, we ought to get it right too, friend. Amen. Hey, listen, God wants you to get it right. He wants me to get it right. You ought to be striving to get it right. Put my glasses on and look at you here. Listen, folks said in Sunday school, we've got one missionary, he says something, and he's just having fun. But he says some of these churches I go into, I'd get more if I stood out on the front porch and smoked than I would sitting in Sunday school. I'll let you guess who that was. And Brother Larry. He said, some church I go in, you ain't going to get nothing. I'm glad right here that when you come, you'll get something out of Sunday school. I hope you get something out of preaching. Hey, friend, I want you to be different leaving than you were coming. Hey, I want you to be able to grow in Him, be strengthened in Him, and not wither up, blow away.
Amen.
But don't all hinge on me. And it don't all hinge on these Sunday school teachers. Don't hinge on these other preachers. It hinges on you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Hey, when I was sick and in the hospital, you know the problem was, didn't want nothing to eat. Didn't want nothing to eat. Now if you're normal and everything's good, you want to want something to eat eventually. Something's got to take place to where if you're not hungry day in and day out, something's wrong. And so if you're not hungry and that for the spiritual things and that of God, and you tell me that you're saved and your inner man don't hunger after this book, there is something wrong with you. There's a sickness. Something has happened. Either poison has come in, sickness has come in, sin has come in, something has separated you out and that from God, and you don't want to read the book. Hey, I'm telling you, when sin creeps into my life, the furthest or the most thing that I want to do is read that book. Why? At one point, I believe, was it in the book of James that it calls it the perfect law of liberty, and talking about looking into the perfect law of liberty, and you know what we see? We see ourselves. It's a looking glass. See, that book is a looking glass. We look in it, and then it looks back at us, and we really see what we are, you see. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So if you do not have the Word of God in your life, you know what you're going to do? You're going to wither up, and you're going to just dry away. Going to wither up. Job said it like this. He said, my foot hath held his steps, His way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. And so a lack of food, as we quit feeding that petunia and quit watering it, it just over a period of time just began to dry up and dry up and dry up. And I think I seen one little bloom on it when we left the house this morning. Over a period of time. You know, it didn't dry up overnight. But you know what? It eventually did. Everything turned brown. And a plant that was real pretty to look at. And that thing was very pretty. Man, it was pink and had a little purple in it and them bright green stems that come off of it, and we'd continually put water in it and it would just grow and grow and grow. But now you know what it looks like? It just looks like a mess. It's just all dried up, just stems with no blooms on it, and it's good for nothing. You know what we're going to do eventually? Once that last bloom falls off, I'll take it down there and throw it in the woods. And it's good for nothing. You know what happens? If we just quit taking in nourishment, quit taking in water from the Word of God, quit taking in from the church, amen? That's why you need church, by the way. Get fed. To get watered. I mean, really, friend. I mean, some people, it seems like they can do without church. I don't know how they do it. I miss one time, I'm in bad shape. I'm just being honest. And preacher, you're just weaker. Now, I guess maybe I am. But I'm being honest. And let me say this, I know some of them just got a mess from time to time because of family needs and all those, then you better be real hardy in your Christian life. And I've preached on that before. You've got to do extra duty to read your Bible and pray and seek God and all those things. You know, they make grass that grows good in the shade, don't they? You better be real hardy if you can't come. I'm talking about can't come, not won't come. Talking about can't come. Because you need it, and I do too. We and that need the help from God's book. We need the help and that from God's word. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I need to come in and just listen to the choir sing sometimes. It does me good. It does me good to just hear them sing. I listen, it stirs my heart. Hey, I just need to be around God's people sometimes. But a lack of water and food, it'll cause us to dry up. You quit God and quit church and quit God's word for your life, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to wither up and dry away and blow away. You go over to the book of Joel, and what did he say? He talked about all these trees, how the vine dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree, the apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered. And then he went on to say, because Joel is withered away from the sons of men. I've never found a Christian yet, that withered up and dried up and had joy in their life. David got in a mess. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. David ended up killing Uriah. And God made him miserable for that. You can go back and you can read Psalms 38 and Psalms 51, I know for sure. But he just got in bad shape. And he still wouldn't get right. Still wouldn't get right. And God sent the preacher over to him, Nathan. And if y'all been in church long tall, you know the story. How that Nathan got over there and preached to him a little message, and I give him a little example about a man that had a ewe lamb and all those things, and how that poor man that had that ewe lamb, there was a rich man next to him that took that ewe lamb and dressed that one little ewe lamb for a traveling man. Although this rich man had all kinds of lambs, and this lamb over here was like a daughter unto him, and fed it from his own table and let it sit in his lap and all those things. But yet that rich man took that poor man's one little ewe lamb and dressed it for a traveling man. And David got so mad that he said, this man surely shall die. But before he dies, they restore fourfold. And then Nathan looks up at him and says, thou art the man, because of what he had done. And so David begins to get right in Psalms chapter 51. And one of the things that he says is, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When's the last time you had joy in your salvation? When's the last time you looked forward coming to church? I mean, just, it didn't matter if I was going to be rough or if I was going to be sweet. You was going to love it either way. Just wanted to come to church. Didn't matter if the choir sung good or if the choir sung bad or if the special singing was good or bad. And it's good this morning, by the way. Amen. You were just going to be happy and apt to be here. You were just going to be happy and apt to tell somebody about the Lord. When's the last time you've been there? When's the last time you had joy in your life? I mean true happiness and true joy. Let's bow our heads across the house as musicians come. Let's get us a verse of invitation. Listen, what about that joy? What about that joy? You know, you can't have joy without Jesus. Unless you're saved this morning, you ain't got no joy. Hey, listen, if you've never been saved, if you've never come to a place of repentance, right now is the important time, church. Right now is the important time. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you've never been saved, you need to come, because you ain't got no peace. You ain't got no happiness. You say, well, preacher, I've got it. No, friend, you ain't got that lasting joy. There's joy that comes. Joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible talks about. That comes from knowing Jesus. Being saved by Jesus. Well, what about it today, friend? Is there some sin crept in there? Have you quit serving God the way that you should? The boy just need to come and renew up and draw close and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I've treated you, but I want to serve you and live for you. You know what? He'll begin to restore that joy into your life. Maybe you let somebody talk about you, or they've said something to you that they shouldn't have said, and you've let that bother you. And friend, I can't tell you to just get over it. But I can tell you this, if the Lord can help you get over it and you can go on and serve Him. Hey, I'm telling you today, if you just quit God
for whatever reason. Maybe you've got your eye on something out in the world or whatever it may be. But if you quit God, you're just going to dry up. You're going to wither up and blow away. He said, the joy of men had withered away. How's your joy this morning? Is it withering away? Are you serving the Lord the way that you should? And you're just as green and as bright as you can be. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help now during this invitation. You know folks' needs. You know folks' hearts this morning. They may need to come and draw close and just renew that fellowship with you that they once had. And Lord, I pray this morning that they won't let anything hinder them in doing that, but they'll come and get right with you. Lord, there may be somebody here that's lost. I pray that you'll save them and help them come to know you as their personal Savior. Would you please help during this invitation? For in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.